Welcome back to The Way We Nerd. This is Kyle Bound. I'm across from me.
Danny Villalobos.
To my left.
Josh Moorhead.
To his left.
An interchangeable Joshua Potter.
And this week, after the big Game of Thrones finale, we felt like we needed to call in our own Knight of the Vale. Nice. Sitting next to Dan across from me. You say your name.
I'm Keegan Allen, fellow nerd, but very much not a regicide like a Lannister.
Does that make also, you the Sansa?
He does, always pay his debts.
Yes.
I'm Sansa in his Littlefinger.
Keegan's
Littlefinger. That's adorable. That's adorable.
We'll get married and we'll sit on the throne together.
I do feel the sexual tension.
I mean, it's palpable. You can cut it with a knife.
Also, he's a very humble guy, so he's not going to talk about this, but for all of you who don't know, and I know there's very few of you, Keegan is also star of our television show Pretty Little Liars, which we all work on.
Wait, what?
And many other.
I had no idea.
I mean, TV shows. He's also
he's
also a brilliant photographer. If you haven't picked up his book, Keegan, what's the name of your book again?
It's called Life, Love, Beauty, and I'm also working on my second book right now. That's why I brought my camera.
Well, there you go. He always has his camera on him because that's what a photographer does. They take pictures.
So is the second book called Death, Hate, Ugly?
Have you been planning that?
Honestly, that just came up. Okay.
It'll fit some of the art that's in here, if it is.
I mean, speaking of death and hate, how about the Game of Thrones finale?
It was amazing. It was incredible.
So good.
Unbelievable.
What's your vote? This week's episode or last week's episode?
You know, both of them had a very special place in creating both of them being as epic as they were, because they did something, and I feel like if you guys all watch Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I feel like our viewers, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, do it.
Yeah,
and
get on that
Vince
now.
Gilligan did something that was really interesting with that series, with Breaking Bad, that Game of Thrones is doing, is they reward their audience
for
all of the pain and suffering that they're going through. There's so much relief to the tension. And at the end of the season, I feel like, for sure, there was reward.
Yeah, it's like you could feel all of America coming at least 8 times last night in that 80-minute period.
That was just that one scene with Arya.
Totally.
For these last, what they say there's going to be 13 episodes, right? There's going to be shortened season.
I believe
seven,
like
eight.
Yeah.
So last 13 episodes, you got to consider it like one season, like the way we do our shows.
Yeah, they'll break it up. But it'll probably
because
be basically
it's going to be. I mean, it's all war. Mm-hmm. Like it's just
the stage is set.
There's four. Is there four factions you would call? Like there's the Daenerys faction with them, the Tyrells.
That's like the girl
the
power
Dorne
faction.
People.
The Tyrells are almost complete. I mean, they're wiped out.
It's just, as far as we know, it's just Lady Olenna.
Yes, but I still think she has a sizable army and sizable influence.
Absolutely.
With the Dorne. What is the Dorne people's name? Martells?
Martells.
Yeah.
Them, and then versus obviously the King of the North.
Right.
Cersei and King's Landing, and I'm missing the fourth. I know there's a fourth one.
The Iron Islands.
Oh, that's right.
And they've made that Baylor, with Danny. They've made that pact
now. Baylor.
He's referring to the uncle who's still in power over there.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that's building
his
ships.
He's planning on building his ships to stick it, if you will, to Daenerys.
But he'll join somebody. He'll probably join.
I have a feeling it's going to be a real quick. You know, and it's interesting to see where all these storylines take us. We look at Jaime. I feel like Jaime is going to look at Cersei and possibly kill her next season.
I mean, she's become the Mad Queen, if you will. Like she succeeded where Aerys didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She blew up the Sept of Baelor.
But that speech that Jaime gave early in the season, how the only thing that matters is her.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the test of that. It does a great job of setting up characters in the crucibles where they have to face, you know.
I like that idea. I hope that's what it comes to. That she's the one who has to take her out, but. Kind of like Wolverine did in X-Men 3, the worst X-Men movie ever.
She shut off their bloodline, you know?
Actually, Wolverine was the worst.
Yeah. I mean, he's the only one who's going to be able to get close enough to do so.
Yeah,
you're right.
Like, she's not going to let herself be alone with anybody but the mountain.
Unless, you know, a dragon comes through the fucking earth.
Well, I mean, sure. But I feel like that would be too easy for her, though. Too easy a death.
She'd probably just talk to the dragon. Be like, yeah. I like fucking my brother. And the dragon's like, oh, what?
I don't get out of here.
Dragons feel good.
Yeah. Although that was the first time I got it. She's like, I like fucking my brother because it feels good. I was like, oh, well, that's,
that makes sense.
Okay. Finally, I see the logic of
that's
why.
That's the same reason Josh fucks his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a brother? That's
well,
who I've been
well,
fucking.
Well, you did until you fucked him right out of the family.
Speaking of family fucking.
Yeah.
I have an aching feeling that Daenerys will end up with Jon Snow.
And I was thinking
because
of that
incest
too.
Was the only way to keep those bloodlines for the Targaryens.
And they don't fucking
pure.
Know.
And that's
they don't
why
know.
And that's why Aerys was the Mad King. Like that whole family was just incest.
What was the brother's name, by the way? It was very
Rhaegar.
No,
well there's Rhaegar, but there's
the son who Khal Drogo killed with the crown.
Viserys
and Daenerys are Rhaegar's siblings.
Yes.
Right.
So that makes him her
Jon Snow's aunt.
Yes.
Allegedly.
So what's that's not that bad when
no,
you
no,
like,
I think
brother
it's
brother.
No,
I think
they've confirmed
it's brother sister. What?
I think they've confirmed that now.
Well, they haven't.
What are you talking about? They had the shot with the baby face and then all
absolutely. They have confirmed that Jon Snow. Look, I think he's Rhaegar's kid.
Oh, you're just
they've
saying
confirmed that Jon Snow is Lyanna's kid.
Mm-hmm. So you're trying. Okay, I have heard a theory.
You don't hear
that the Mad King might have raped her.
Yeah,
I heard that. But
so
also,
we don't know.
You just infer.
But he's probably.
I also have a feeling Rhaegar's too that the who's protecting Bran now? The girl.
Mira.
I think Mira has some sort of bloodline connection to Jon Snow.
So Mira, her father was at the Tower of Joy with Ned.
That place is called the Tower of Joy?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Yeah.
This shows
that's George R. R.
Martin
for
you. Irony.
Yeah. Yep. So, so he was there. He was the guy who like gets hit in the beginning and then stabs the dude in the back that Ned's fighting.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was there. So he kind of knows that this shit has gone down.
Mm-hmm. I was also thinking there is one other person that they haven't really talked about, and maybe she's not alive anymore, but the wet nurse that's in there with the baby. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a reason they showed her in the shot handing the baby. I mean, obviously, she's got to be in the shot anyway, but they want you to remember her. So there is one other person that
knows. So there's, there's places to go. I mean, I feel like we have to assume that what we heard is exactly what Bran heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any information.
Yeah, I don't think they cheated
us,
I think.
And also, how about the wildfire? I knew, though. I had an aching feeling when Tyrion said, the Mad King kept all of this wildfire under the city. And if we remember in season 2, episode 8, the big fight battle scene.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
Tywin
won.
Yeah, 209, Blackwater.
The Blackwater.
That was all they got in season 2?
Yep.
You think about that, is that, the Mad King putting all this wildfire under the city just in case
what
anything happened.
Yeah.
It was like a riot control.
Right.
Just
in case.
He could blow up parts of the city and keep his order.
And he gave the order to decimate the entire city.
And that's when he got
And that's when Jaime's like, nope, stab.
By the way, this is Trump's defense plan as well.
It's just putting wildfire. He's just arming all of the nukes in America, and he'll just blow them up underground.
I'm sure he's already got it in place in all his buildings. And
This is like a good example, though, of like, because Keegan, you don't know this, but like, I'm less fluent. It's not that I don't love it. It's just that, like, I feel like an 8-year-old. Like, I can't keep track of everybody's names.
Right. You don't listen
to,
like,
Scabby Guy. Right. And I like these dudes. But, like,
you don't watch After the Thrones. You don't read, like, recaps. Right.
Did you read the books?
No.
Oh, man.
They're thick. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They're very
they have
large.
A lot of words.
I read 4 to 5.
I haven't read the fifth one. It's a tough one.
But, like, so the wildfire came as totally a surprise to me. Like, I remembered, like, the whispering creepy kids, I just assume they really like candy, and that's why they were there.
But candied plum from Dorne.
Yes. That's where my, it's candy to candy plum, that's where my knowledge stops. But like, that was so brilliant, and it was nice for me to be surprised to not see it coming, and it was like a fucking horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
These stabby children.
I'm glad you brought up the stabby children, because I was kind of lost for a second. I don't remember them from where were they? What
well,
are
they?
Appear?
So
they
were Varys's birds.
Yeah,
they were
Varys's
part
birds.
Of them. And then
so
Qyburn.
So last
Qyburn, Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, Dr.
That's
Frankenstein.
The guy that comes out of the dark.
He started giving them the plums.
Yeah, there was a scene 3 or 4 episodes ago where he basically talks about how he took over
that.
Yeah. And we see him give the pits to Candor.
Oh, right. Yeah. They're like mercenary babies. Yeah. And they were without a warlord or whatever, and then he adopted them.
Yeah, I can't believe
that's the lesser known.
Who knows what he laced in those candied plums from Dorne, too. I mean, he's responsible for the mountain being.
And how about the mountain? His brother has come back and dealt with all of that side scene and the needless showing of his peeing into a river.
Come on.
So you can only imagine.
If you're going to stick a finger up the guy's butt, you may as well show it.
They hear so many complaints about all you show is tits and snatch. They're like, all right, two dicks a year. Just to balance it out.
But they're right there. Preparation.
Exactly.
Is there a wolf on
surprise
day. They're like, oh my God.
Yes. I have a 60-inch 1080p TV. Yes.
The wart's the size of my head. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Back off.
How about the fact that that's his brother too? I never realized that.
The mountain is the reason the Hound has those scars.
And he hates him.
He hates his brother more than anything.
There's going to be a brother showdown.
There has to be. Is what people are calling it.
But one of them is a rape zombie. So
What is the mountain? Is he even alive or is he a White Walker?
He's a zombie. He's not like Jon Snow alive at all.
He's Frankenstein.
Weird alchemy bringing back.
He's not him. He's not a White Walker.
They're not showing his face at all.
Think of him as like a pickle brain.
They did last night. You saw his face.
They did.
It was kind of Phantom of the Opera, in the shadows.
Right before he did something.
Right before
he banged her, dude.
Do you think so?
Oh yes.
In the side then. Like he wasn't anywhere near.
No, she was. He was like peeling off her face.
Oh, maybe she I was missed. Saw.
She said
I
scream.
I thought he went to her side anything. Though. Like,
no, he walked
he
in.
Her armpit.
He walked in and unsheathed at the top of the table, and then she was like,
"I don't know."
That's crazy. Yeah, because if you think about it's what you were saying about how the show. You don't wake up in the morning like on Sunday and like, I really hope I get to see zombie rape tonight.
Yeah.
But it's a really satisfying story beat because
God knows it has mine.
You couldn't think of a better revenge, you know? Like Arya, I don't want to skip there, but I am. When she fucking feeds him his children, perfect revenge.
Oh,
last week,
she ripped that off from South Park.
I was gonna say that. God
damn it!
Well, you know, we're all inspired by the greats.
Yeah,
there is no greater evil than Eric Cartman.
It could be something as simple as. Because now she's this trained assassin. She winked, she got real close to Jaime Lannister. And he's on her shit list. And that is, so amazing, but also really scary of how Arya has turned into this.
She's gone dark.
Killer.
Well, I loved it in the performance. Like, both her and Sansa last week, the characters you're rooting for, even when they get the comeuppance that they want, you still feel a little like Star Wars dark side with it. Like, oh my God, I'm rooting for this little girl, but I think she's a serial killer now.
Yeah.
The interesting thing sort of watching the show over time is that it's the people who are willing to change their view of the world and alter their ideals that survive and move on. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's Sansa, it's Arya, it's, Jon Snow died. He stuck to his guns.
How about as an actor, I look at one thing really interesting. The girl who plays Marjorie, that actress, how about getting that kind of a call and no resolution to your character? Literally, she changed. I mean, she was on the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
She was just trying to get her brother out, get out of there.
Right. Yeah. We wanted to see where her manipulation was going.
I liked where her story was headed, but that's the other thing the show's good at, is we were talking about last week, not knowing who's going to bite it.
Yeah. But now, is it 100% that she's dead?
I'd say so.
You don't see Stannis die. So
right.
He's maybe still alive. Mm. You don't see. There's a lot of people you don't see die.
I mean, you see her in there and you see the flame come up. I mean, I didn't slow mo through it.
I did.
But the thing is, watching that, even if they had left when she's like, something's fucked up, she knows how bad it is for not being here.
Yeah.
We should get the hell out of here before something happens. Mm-hmm. She still would have kicked it. If she had ran full speed at that moment, she would have still
I also think the High Sparrow believed it. He was just like, we're fucked anyway.
The thing that I was telling Kyle earlier.
The God's will.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
The thing I was telling Kyle earlier that I loved was that, like, Cersei, in her just pure evilness, didn't just blow it all up. She waited until there was, like, confirmation that first, like, the dude was completely embarrassed by having the thing chopped into his head. And mm-hmm. I was like, now we'll dispose of them.
Yeah.
Like, make sure they're at their lowest. Like, she wouldn't just blow them up and had to get to that point.
Yeah.
That's how twisted she is.
Yeah, she didn't. She wasn't there for Tommen either.
Well,
she
was just right there. Out the window.
Which was great. It was jarring. She was all great.
That's why they waited for that. Like, she had to wait until...
No, but they'd all been in there for a while. The kid didn't run away and, like, tattle.
I don't know. And I think they'd have time to stop Tommen from coming, too. Like, it was just like the timing all had to be right. And I don't think it was, because I don't think she knew he was already getting carved. She's not even in the room.
That's why she employed her baby mercenary. I don't know. I just, like,
not like they have psychic connection with
him. I mean, no, but the thing is, though, she would have known the order
of what's going on.
Yeah. Going on.
All right.
And she, she waited until Loras coming out was coming out to get her, to go and drag her there from the Red Keep.
Yeah.
You know, and that was sort of the thing to start the plan. So it wasn't even that she waited. I mean, it was, but she wanted, the really fucked up thing is, she wanted Loras to know what was about to happen.
Right.
That's the fucked up thing. Lancel. I don't know why I said Loras. Yeah, Lancel. Yeah.
And I didn't even know what you were talking about.
She wanted Lancel to see that as it was about to happen.
Well, that was his punishment for everything.
Like, the kid could have killed him and said the kid just stabs him so he can't walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, not just as a nerd, because that's all of our expertise, but as an actor, which we're the rest of us don't do, or don't do very well, like, who really impressed you performance-wise? Or who do you see on that show and you go, oh, fuck?
Well, there's a couple people, but the first one that comes to mind is Ramsay Bolton, and I'll tell you why. Because as an actor, that is so terrifying to do, to play a part that everyone fucking will hate you forever for. If this gentleman walked into any establishment at this point in time, everyone's like, oh, I fucking hate you so much. You know,
they're all sick of with like a giant grin on their face.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, I love, but you know,
Jack Gleason, who was Joffrey, like, he's like, you know what, I'm done acting after this. I don't need to act anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I heard about that.
He has to wait until he gets a little older and doesn't look like bitch Joffrey.
Apparently he's the sweetest kid in the world.
Oh, he's a genius.
I don't believe it for a second. And so I'm like the audience. Yeah, I'm like the duped audience. It's like,
Here's my question for you as an actor. And I don't know that we'd talk about this character otherwise, even though I love this character and...
Please say it's the little girl.
No, it's Sam Tarly.
What little girl? Oh,
he walks in to the library.
And sees the... Dun, 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 dun,
and sees all of that. And he's got this look on his face that's like, at first it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then it switches for half a second to, I have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And then to, but this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, like, as somebody who works television, you know that he's just looking at a camera that's right in front of his face. None of those books are there. Mm-hmm. Like... How fucking hard is that?
Well, I guess that's just exactly what it sounds like. It's a fucking crazy magic that happens between the writers and the director at the time. And what's even more incredible, and Troyan actually told me this, and I found out through Troyan, that during the amazing epic fight scene, that amazing battle, I think was probably the best battle I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Ever. Right. I don't think anything else has topped it. Even iconic epic films.
Because you don't see the strategy in those movies. You just see...
Well, Braveheart came close.
Braveheart came close, but it was like, oh my God, they 700 took Braveheart, extras and all this.
They took Braveheart and upped it like by
by a thousand. And,
in television.
And the fact that as an actor, you put this trust into a director, you put this trust into the writers, and when, apparently, this is what Troyan told me, apparently they had a moment where there wasn't anything written, and they had 2 days, and the budget was there.
Wow.
That the director was like, we have to shoot something, and improvised the being under all the bodies.
No way. That's so iconic.
I know. Yeah. And he shot it, and that was what they shot for those two. They used all those silicone dead bodies.
Wow, man.
And shot the close-up of John, you know, struggling to breathe and suffocating. And that is a testament. So when you say like, oh, what's that like? It's just a testament to smart and very cunning abilities of the director, the writers, and the showrunners at the time. So, you know, Sam, definitely the actor could have just been standing there and they're like, look at it and be nervous. Now be excited. Now think about everything that's ever happened to you. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's perfect. You know? And
he wasn't actually confused. He just didn't hear the question.
Yeah, he's just perfect. Like, huh?
Oh, yeah. The perfect.
I was hoping you're going to bring up the little, what's her name?
Oh my God! The little Mormont.
Oh yeah, Lady Mormont.
Yeah, Lady Mormont is so awesome.
She was so good.
Yeah.
Dude, that scene gave me goosebumps.
I wanted to cry.
But I mean, and she did
it. That chick should be the Hand.
She did it like she had that same like charisma earlier on when they went to her asking her for help. We're like, oh yeah, that's like. Sure, she's 9 years old, but she doesn't give a fuck. Like, that's her room.
Yeah, she's smart.
Even though she's in the Winterfell Hall calling this guy her king, and it's her fucking room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's calling out all the old fuckers that are...
Yes.
And all of them, for one second... Yeah. Not for one second didn't have shame on their face. They were just...
Yeah, incredible.
Like, they didn't think, oh my God, a 9-year-old's ripping me. They're just like, she's right.
I mean, you could see it. You could see it. I don't remember the fellow that they went to first and they asked for his help and he turned them away.
Yeah.
You could see just the crumbled essence of a man of regret for the rest of his life that he didn't join him in this battle.
Yeah.
You could see it. That actor, just hats off to him.
I'm feeling it all
There's
over.
There's no small parts. There's just small actors. And man, this guy was definitely not a small actor. It was unbelievable. Yeah. That's like a spot that stuck out to me.
Yeah. That was a great scene.
Do you think that there's any chance, though, that either one of those men could pull a Frey on Snow somewhere down the line and betray the hell out of him?
Just Littlefinger is the one that...
He has some weird hold on Sansa, like he's out there. I'm nervous I think he can flip her. That's what I was telling somebody earlier, and they're like, never.
Well,
I think in the past they could have. I think she was kind of mesmerized by him in the beginning when he first promised, I will take care of you and all stuff.
I think they're setting up the moments. They've constantly shown how damn honorable Jon Snow is.
Too honorable.
And they've started to show how Sansa can go a little dark. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all wanted Ramsay dead, but did you have to... she had that darkness go over her eyes. So I think all it takes is in a year or two, him making some strategic decision or whatever that's against her wishes for honor, and then all Littlefinger has to do is like, I told you so, I'll do that thing.
Yeah.
But see, I think if she joins him, and this isn't a fair, like, logical argument, but fuck it. If she joins him, she's at the point now in the game, if you will, where she's going to have her own plan. And it's not a question of her being convinced by Littlefinger at this point. It's a question of whether she gets outplayed by him or
not. That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
You know, if she's like, yeah, Peter, I'll go with your plan. Mm-mm. It's to get her own thing. Whether she can do that without giving Littlefinger what he wants, or if she's willing to give Littlefinger what he wants to get what she wants, that's the
question. Remind me of this timeline, though. How long has he been attracted to her since she was like 10?
Yeah. Well, in the books, these kids are much younger than the actors, obviously, because the actors had to age. Yeah. They've definitely aged. Because in the book, it's probably like maybe 3 years that this has happened.
Yeah, maybe three or four. Yeah.
And I think Rob is like 14 or 15 when he starts off as king. So it's they're all very young.
But they're way older in the show.
It's because they of the age actors. And it's obviously a different time period. Like it's like that line from Interview with a Vampire. Like, I was 21, but I was a man by then, had a family, all that crap. It's the same kind of thing. But it is gross. It is 100% gross.
No,
it's also another time in another era. And it's also, I feel like, another world completely.
Oh,
it's not even Earth.
It doesn't feel like Earth.
And what I stay up and think about at night and pontificate over
is scripts.
Oh yeah. Is what is north of the wall? What is beyond the wall? Right. We know that the wildlings.
Friggin' White Walker army.
But no, we know that, right?
But there's probably way more stuff. But
you think about the fact that, like, when they were there. And they, with the forest nymphs, are these girls. They were like,
there's a lot of other.
There's so much creatures and so much stuff. Yeah. It's almost alien. It's almost another world.
Yeah, giants out absolutely. There.
Well, there's
it takes place on what, maybe one or two big continents.
Wait, you guys, what if this is Earth? Okay, think about it for a second, though. Okay, you have this sort of long, thinner continent, right, and then like the sideways continent. So what if this is like ancient North America and South America, but it's just the maps flipped.
Mm-hmm.
So Westeros is actually North and South America. Like Dorne is like in the north, our north, and like the South Pole is like the wall. And then Essos is actually like to the west, and it's like Asia.
That's for the geography.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. you never know.
I had a question in my influency. Nope, that's
sure. Influence. Go with it. You're wrong.
Did we know that the wall in and of itself had like magical properties? It was kind of forcing that. We all kind of guessed it, I think, but it wasn't until what's his name was like, I can't go near that wall. It's got voodoo.
I mean, not in the show.
That was the exact line.
I don't think that had been said in the show.
And Benjen is the character you're talking about.
But the thing about the show is, sort of when we start the show, most people believe that magic never actually existed.
Right. Yeah, it's been so long since anybody's ever employed it that doesn't... Just like dragons. They didn't think dragons existed anymore.
It's the New Hope era of the Star Wars universe.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I understand.
So explain it in Star Wars terms.
There's one other thing I want to call out about.
There's still a lot of things. There's so many things to talk about.
I know.
How do we feel about the score? It was such a driving force in this episode. It was so good.
Incredible. You knew the music made it sound like there was something about to go down.
And the using sort of that modified version of the theme.
Yeah,
and when you're in King's Landing, it's all piano and that. And then you get to the north,
cellos and violins start in.
I don't know who said this to me earlier, but I credit them, even though I'm forgetting who it was. But it was very Godfather, that opening scene.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. It was very, like,
a 20-minute Godfather scene.
Yeah, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I was listening to the score today on Apple Music, by the way. You guys should download it if you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very epic. I was just listening to it. I felt like I was getting ready for war. Wearing ornate.
I should have listened to that at the gym this morning. I would have gone like an extra 15 minutes.
I'll tell you right now, if I watch it recorded, because sometimes I watch it an hour or two after, or the next day, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I never forward through that credit sequence. I want to hear that music every time.
You want to see the
it's not like the fucking annoying Prince song. It's just like, I want
to
hear this.
I got
I'll be there for you.
What's going to pop up?
What else is
where are they going to go today?
They always do something different.
It's like Mr. Rogers.
I was so preemptively sad about it being the finale last night that...
Because we have to wait until April to come back?
That I stopped it four times when I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because I was like, don't rush it. Like, absorb what's happening. Like, I did some laundry. I called my dad a little drunk, which is probably a mistake. I had a friend that was hosting like a backyard viewing party barbecue. I was like, it's not the Super Bowl. Like, you gotta like watch it.
I don't want you to talk.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, you gotta watch it.
When was the last time there was event TV like?
No, it is event TV, but I'm just saying, like, I needed, like, me personally, last night, I needed, like, Supreme Spoke.
Yes.
Yeah, Lost was pretty
Lost was hugely this.
Yeah.
You think so? Like, it had as many, like, crossover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two more things I want to talk about Game of Thrones, neither of which are super important. The first is when Sam gets to the Citadel... And you have, like, that Westerosi DMV worker sitting behind the thing.
Yeah, he was awesome. The glasses.
That was just... I could not stop laughing during that scene. He's like, that's not the Lord Commander. We already have what's his face?
Mormont.
As the
makes Mormont him reach all the way over
is the maester there. Right, like, he's like, I'm not moving. Like,
yeah. That was like very Gilliam design.
Yes.
But I also got pissed when he's like, no women or children. I was bitch, it's 2016 or whatever it is.
He was like the Westeros version of Billy Eichner.
He's supposed to be
nice.
He's supposed to be celibate. And I was gonna say, this is kind of a side note. As Samwell lost a little bit of weight since.
Oh yeah, I noticed immediately.
That's a lot of walking holding his sword.
He looks great.
Well, it's a lot of walking, but I was gonna say that's sex weight. That's like now he's tapping that.
I'm wondering, was he padded in earlier seasons?
He didn't have the extra piece of bread. When he was visiting his parents,
That was a really intense.
Good callback. Really that was a good callback.
That was a great.
We're gonna see that guy again.
Yeah.
Well, because he took the damn sword too.
Oh yeah.
I hope he runs his dad through with that fucking sword.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
I don't know. I have to remember. Did anybody got anything?
I was just gonna say.
Check my notes.
I was curious. Is there anything else like you have to say as like an actor and a participant of TV?
Let me see here. I have a...
Just take a shot every time.
Keegan's got notes.
I do have notes.
I'm just saying, it's an interesting...
I'm just fucking around.
Oh, okay.
I just want a drink.
I know what it was. they do not give a fuck about how long it takes to get from point A to point B anymore.
Nope.
Oh, sure no, don't.
And I am glad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gone are the, we're going to spend a full season having Jaime and Brienne get back to King's Landing, or Arya and the Hound try to make it to the Vale over 10 episodes.
You know what it
episodes.
Is? It's an RPG when you finally get off the chocobo and they're like, look, you found a ship. Yeah. You can get back to that
fast
place.
Travel.
Like, yeah, exactly. Hey, you found the blip.
Yeah.
Yep. You met the blip guy. But,
yeah, and it's at the point where you don't, the game. And you don't need to spend episodes and episodes exploring characters and building their relationships because you have them.
Light bulb. The only thing I can think of, and I want to ask you guys about this, the eunuch is in Dorne, and then he's on the ship?
I know.
My thought
was very quick. Apparently there were Dornish ships there, though.
There were.
I'm not entirely clear
so
on that. I didn't notice the symbol.
Now, Dorne is... Sorry, I'm taking one.
Yeah,
Dorne... Is Dorne now going to join Khaleesi?
Yes.
Dorne Martell's.
That's why I said it's like the Waiting Hours.
And the
I guess that's
just
right. The Cersei. Oh, yeah.
Did we... And maybe I zoned out during this part. Did we talk about the... Tommen jumping out of the window. I'm sorry.
Yes, and it was. Yeah. You said it was. Yes.
It was jarring.
It was jarring.
That was because that was the only part that I was really like. Uber, like
you know
what
what's
the
weird?
Fuck?
Yeah,
I'd rewind it.
That's like the most I've ever
out of that
liked
fucking
him.
Because
that's the most we've been inside his head. He's always been kind of like pushed around and manipulated, but like him making that choice is showing you how much good was actually like in his heart.
Yeah, he always meant
for me.
Oh,
he was the opposite of his brother.
He was a good. He was a good person. He was so young.
He
was a man of faith. Maybe he was blind. It was the wrong kind of faith because,
and he genuinely loved.
But he was doing it in the best interest of what he thought was the best interest of the people.
Right.
He wanted to be a good king.
I feel like the seven. That religion is no more cultish than any other religion Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah,
any religion.
I'm not talking about like real.
I meant the context of the show.
It's
not like the
Lord of Light feels much more cultish than. The seven guns.
Well, because the seven have never pushed a demon out of a vagina.
Right. Like, there's no blood magic at the
shadow
seven.
Baby. Yeah.
But they were. I mean, he was the High Sparrow. He was a fairly like progressive, you know, cared about the poor, all that, and you know, outlawing trial by combat while
intentions, all that good stuff.
While it's, you know, it served his needs. It's also,
policy.
A thing. Yeah, it's good policy. Like,
yeah.
If you're a poor person, you know,
you're not going to get anybody to fight for you.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it sort of makes things more of an even playing field.
What I loved, and the girlfriend and I were talking about this via text because we both had to watch it separately today.
Girlfriend name drop.
Yes, girlfriend name drop.
Without actually saying her name.
Right?
Girlfriend weird. Counts it right.
But
Elena is her name.
She was like, yeah, it was a little silly that he just jumped out the window. And I said, no, but okay, it's kind of silly, but at the same time, it's perfect because his life died.
Yeah,
except
his wife died.
He watched his life go.
His kingdom.
Goodbye.
Yeah,
so.
Everything. He was still going to rule, but his mom was going to be controlling him.
Well, he got to see in that moment how much of a monster she really can be and what lengths she will go to have her way and her will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we have to remember, in the city, in the King's Landing, she's thought of as a sympathetic character, like the way that the plays were portraying her. Like, people all there that follow her are going to follow her because they're like, oh my God, she lost another child. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, they don't know the Cersei that we all know.
The
other people, obviously, that are against her now.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Cersei, that kind of rhymes with E3.
Oh,
are we
going
to transition out of Game of
Thrones? I was just trying to keep us
moving.
That
was terrible.
That was a good bridge.
Another kingdom.
God, worst segue. How about the Mushroom Kingdom?
Wow.
Yeah.
Or the Kingdom of Hyrule.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That would work, too.
Yeah.
Shall we
talk in Zelda?
I would love to.
Oh, my God.
We're talking. The big reason, I mean, other than we just love Keegan in general, but the reason we decided this week to bring him in is that Keegan was just recently at E3, the Electronics mm-hmm. Entertainment Expo here in LA, and we're all jealous, and he got to play the games and see everything. I know, but I had to work.
Oh, it is
like
so,
a fool.
No, wait, it's so Littlefinger and Sansa all over again. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was too busy retaking Winterfell while you were over in the Vale pushing people out of your moon door.
Didn't I get the Knights of the Vale to come?
I mean, you did. One at a time.
Nice.
There it is.
That was a good one.
So what's E3 like?
E3 is like if you were to dream of the greatest one most wonderful dream of video game nerd world. It is what cosplay is, I feel like, started from E3. Because, and I'll tell you what, I remember when Ocarina of Time came out. And it was
my favorite game ever.
And it's arguably one of the greatest role-playing open world games ever created. To this day, you can play it on 3DS, and it still holds up as an incredible adventure game.
Absolutely.
And where all of these great games, like Fable, The Witcher 3, which we're going to talk about, because you guys, if you haven't played it...
I have not.
No. Oh, have you played
it? I played the first Witcher.
On PC? Ancient.
Yeah, right?
It's still incredible.
Witcher 3, did that just come out?
It came out a year ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing it. I'm 250 hours into the game. Wow. We'll come back to that, because I want to touch on something really important here. And I think if all of us have played Ocarina of Time, whatever, you call it tomato, tomato. Yeah. And I am assuming all of us played Majora's Mask.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm assuming all of us played Twilight Princess.
I started it, but I haven't finished it.
Yeah, okay. I got about halfway through.
Now, they just released Twilight Princess on the Wii U, and I suggest you guys play it, because it's incredible. And if you're listening, if you play it, you need it, because they're making a wolf Mobley. What is it called?
Amiibo.
Amiibo.
Oh.
They're making a wolf amiibo that will level up in Twilight Princess.
And carry over
to this new game, because in my mind, this is what I believe happens. I played the game. I had a lot of time with it because I kept skipping to different parts. I kept charming the people in charge of the game, telling them how beautiful and wonderful they were. Now, some of them were like 50-year-old men, and I was like trying my... I was destined to play this game and know everything I could in the time that I was allotted, because I'm a huge Zelda fan. And if you've ever played open world games before, you know that how much it's like all about gather. It's like Skyrim or Fable or... Yeah.
It's all about the side quests.
And gathering and harvesting, and it's very much felt like what's it called? Like Oblivion. It felt like this constant. There's no more of. It's very real. They've made this world real. They've made this world in the future, very far in the future possible. Alien technology feeling about it, of like what is happening
in Zelda.
Okay.
And that's something that they haven't done. That's amazing.
Yeah. But it makes sense if you play Twilight Princess. You know that the castle Hyrule and the entire land of Hyrule is based off of Ocarina of Time, and Link is this time traveling hero of time.
Yeah.
Then when we come to Twilight Princess, it's more into the future, but it's more in like a time where everything's starting to crumble, where the society's starting to fail, where it's getting to a point in society, just like Mass Effect. If you played Mass Effect, you know that there's the Reapers. There's a time that comes where all men must die, right? Not to get back to Game of Thrones. But there's a time, and that feels like where Twilight Princess ends. And Skyward Sword kind of.
I was going to ask. There is a game between.
So a little.
Is that one not as good?
I think it's great. Okay. It's just that it's the game less played, because not a lot of people wanted to get into.
It's like a beast. You have to do all the modes, and
hopefully one day they'll bring it back, because it's a really good game. The story is incredible.
It's funny how exciting that was for the Wii, though, when that first came out, the stick, and then everybody was like, oh, I don't want to do that.
That's why I played Twilight Princess for so long. I never ended up finishing the game, because
I'm not
as good of a gamer as these other folks. But like, it's also like, even playing like Lego Star Wars on Wii, you're like I'm waving a lightsaber, and then 20 minutes later you're like, yeah, but I wish I was just pressing
the button. Didn't wave the lightsaber.
And then the shame comes over you, because you're like, I'm a 30-year-old.
Exactly.
Waving a stick in my mouth. I do
love how the Wii every once in a while tells you, hey, push pause and go outside and play.
Exactly.
In college, I invited a girl over, and I was like so nervous about her coming over. When she opened the door, I made sure that I was Wii bowling. And I was like, oh, hello.
You're like,
I'm just bowling.
I didn't see you there.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, bowled a strike.
Yeah, would you like to join me for this game? She's just like, you're fucking nerd, what the hell is this?
Anyway, 20 years old.
That's besides the point.
I was lucky enough to play it on GameCube, because I had a GameCube at the time. And it's still an amazing system. Yeah, it's an amazing system. I feel like the Nintendo NX is what the GameCube should have been. this is a long time coming. This is 15 years or something. Right. Since we've had a really, really, you know, a system that was completely dedicated to playing.
Yeah, not a gimmick.
Not gimmicky with the double screens and all that.
Yeah, I couldn't do that giant tablet with the Wii U.
I mean, it's still going to be now. Zelda, I think it's the Winds of Something is the name of the game now. Winds of the Wild. Winds of the Wild. Thank you. There's a Master Sword in the logo, and it's rusted.
Okay.
So you're looking at a almost dystopian Zelda world, and the first quest that you come upon is this old man sitting by a campfire, and there's definitely voice actors in this now. You're not just reading. It's not like,
very cool.
It's like an actual, it's an actual voice actor.
I don't even think they said words. They just made little noises.
Yeah, there was just like, you know, and you're like, amazing.
But how do the Gorgons sound so real?
Yeah, right.
And Link never said a damn thing, even in like talk bubbles.
He'd be,
exactly.
Oh, yeah. He got it.
He's right-handed still. And there's a reason, I believe, because Twilight Princess, he's right-handed as well. And that was a big controversy.
He was always left-handed. Yeah. But when they put in the motion controls, they literally, if you play it, from my understanding, if you play Twilight Princess on GameCube, he's left-handed.
Yes.
If you play it on the Wii, he's right-handed. Wow. They flipped the entire game.
Wow.
So even the map is flipped the other way in that game, in Twilight Princess.
You know, I was just thinking, this reminds me, when you say this is a dystopian future of Hyrule, this is an unprecedented in role-playing games, because remember, the greatest Final Fantasy game ever, Final Fantasy VII, did just that. It took it out.
Six!
I played
Final Fantasy VI is the greatest Final Fantasy game ever.
I didn't get six, all right? I live in America, so I skipped.
I'm sorry.
From three on Super Nintendo.
It was three.
That game is great.
Yes.
But come on, Final Fantasy VII.
But also, there is a dystopian aftermath in the second half of Final Fantasy III.
That's true.
/ six.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I've heard. So what is that first quest in Zelda?
The first quest is an old man sitting by a campfire. I got to play
minutes
all the way. Yeah.
And I was thinking about something else.
And I kept doing it because here's the thing: it's not when you cut grass in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hearts or rubies that pop up. It's wood and grass, and you have to harvest it to make fires.
Wow.
And you need to cut down trees to get wood, and you need to kill boars and wild boars and animals to get meat, and then you need to cook your meat, and you have apples and stuff that fall from the
trees.
You have to eat to regain health.
And so the first quest is to hit, it's like this alien structure, is to go up to this stone, and it's like you have like magnet abilities to lift things and all this very alien technology, and power this tower to come out of the ground, because in the distance, you can see what feels very, very much of a callback to, the Death Mountain behind the Hyrule Castle. There is a dark force that has been brewing for thousands of years, and it is Ganon.
Of course, you can see it's Ganon,
and he hasn't come to the form of Ganondorf yet. And you're looking at this, and the old man goes, there's only one way to get off of this plateau, and it's to glide down, and I'll give you a glide. I'll give you a paraglide. But you need to go and activate this thing. Well, I rushed and ran, and however many times I played it, I tried to get there in under 20 minutes, and I couldn't do it. So I don't know what's past that plateau. Okay. But I'm assuming that it's just this very, it's like a regrown, like as if, okay, so in Twilight Princess at the end, spoiler alert, everything is blown up and taken, and it's a new world, right?
Yeah.
And so this is kind of like that, the earth has kind of grown over that world.
Wow.
And it's kind of like coming back into life. So you're immediately jettisoned into almost feels like the future of the past. But he's not the hero. It doesn't feel like he's the hero of time. He's from that time.
Right.
But I don't know where
it is. So it's like somebody like almost taking on the mantle of Link, like somebody that has to take on the identity.
Well, he's Link.
Right, but I mean, like, he's not...
Wind Waker
it's not like he's reincarnated.
Well, didn't I read somewhere that they were playing with the idea, and maybe they decided not to do this, where you could be a female Link? They were trying to, like...
Yes, there was a female Link, and I think it was, like, Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Another B-side.
But that's a good game. Yeah. It's just a little... It's just more of an arcade game than it is. I mean, it's like what you would go to, like, Family Fun Arcade.
And right, it's not a quest. It's more for a...
It's like...
Oh, run, I miss real arcades.
Well, me thing, too, so, man. Yeah.
One of the things I heard about the Zelda game, one example I heard of somebody talking about it is, like, they just started messing around. So they had a bow and arrow they had gotten somehow. Mm. They lit the arrow on fire, shot it at a tree. The tree caught on fire, and it caused a forest fire. So the forest started burning down. They went to light another arrow, and now their wood bow caught on fire, so they threw it and ran away.
So it's that,
like, I'm in already.
That's you cook your food, you do, it's very it's very much like that, and you can regain health by eating. You constantly are upgrading weapons. Constantly, you can take now, if you see, remember in the past, you'd see someone, like, you'd fight him, and you'd be like, God, I wish Dark Link would drop his fucking sword, you know? Now, everything drops, everything that it's being used, you can pick it up and use it against enemies. It's all very, everything is, it feels like they took their own advice on this. Nintendo did something very smart, finally. They took their own advice, and they continued a working palette that's always worked for them. And I feel like what happened for a little while is they got into this, like, we need to be different and create something.
Yeah, because they couldn't keep up with
gimmicks. You know, gimmick. Yeah, yeah. Very gimmicky. Like, we're going to make this fun for the whole family. And whereas it's great. Everybody owns a Wii, and everybody's happy with their Wii that they own, and it's fun for the whole family. But then there's people like me and you and everybody that played Zelda and wants that game back.
Yeah, we wanted it back.
Definitely. And they finally gave it to us back.
It sounds like the most realistic, detailed thing that Nintendo's ever done. Except for Mario Kart Double Dash.
Well, of
course. I mean, we all agree.
I mean, I always throw shells when I
every Mario Kart is the greatest Mario Kart ever. Every game, every Mario Kart is amazing.
It gets better and better. But this is definitely the most real. Because everything's very cartoonish. Yeah. This feels like Nintendo was like, we're going to do something gnarly.
I was going to say, this is probably the biggest leap in the Zelda games in graphics, storytelling, everything's action since Super Nintendo and that huge leap to Ocarina of Time in 64.
Since the
Super Nintendo one is fantastic, and it's obviously better graphics than the first two, but it's still
the greatest
of time
game
blows
ever.
Blows your head off.
No, I'm not saying anything from the game.
I know. I'm just
graphically and story. Aesthetically, they look the same.
Yeah.
But this is like a huge leap.
But even the jump from Link to the Past to Ocarina, it's still. Even though it's now 3D, it's still the same basic game.
Yeah.
You go into a dungeon,
you get a thing, you get another thing in another dungeon, you get a third thing in another dungeon, then you get the Master Sword, then you got to fight Ganon. It's all sort of the same. Whereas this one is the biggest storytelling ever, because it doesn't.
Because they're different
so much
eras. Like, did you play Wind Waker?
Wind Waker is great.
It's amazing. And even though it's cell or whatever.
Yeah, the cell shading.
Cell
shading. It's beautiful.
It's incredible.
Beautiful
music. You hear that music.
Right.
It's so amazing. And that's what they did with this game is they brought it all back. It might be the same exact story repeating itself, but it's like...
But there's a lot more
it's
there.
It's just like Star Wars.
I'm filled with regret right now for selling my GameCube that I had that Zelda collection disc on.
Oh, I saw
that.
Where
it was Wind Waker and Ocarina and Majora's Mask.
I don't know what happened to that.
disc. I have another disc that has the original Legend of Zelda, The Adventure of Link.
I probably had those, too. I just don't remember.
You can buy them all on Wii U now.
Yeah, you can buy
them. Everything's on Wii U, and it's even better than before now.
Isn't it funny, though, how, like, each sequel was still good on like the systems, like Link or Zelda, and then Zelda 2 Link's Adventure, and then Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. They were never quite as good as the original, but they were still amazing, obviously. But like the second Zelda's part is fuck.
Well, they always
the second one on Nintendo,
especially back then. That this doesn't happen now in video games most of the time. They were trying new things then.
Right.
The first Zelda's the top-down adventure game. The second one is mostly side-scrolling.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and then you get to
so hard.
Ocarina of Time. It's the 3D Zelda, and then you get to Majora's Mask, and they have that time travel, that 3-day cycle that you just keep repeating. You have to learn patterns.
I was so bad at that one. I was so bad at Majora's Mask.
I loved
it.
It was so creepy.
I liked it.
It was just so dark. Like to be a kid and you're just staring at like that face in the sky. It's like, everything's coming down. You're like, I don't know. More Mario Kart, please.
Wait, we have 2 minutes left. I have to play the song.
Disney animators and Nintendo animators kind of rival each other in acid trips that they probably take. Because there's some crazy imagery in all these games.
What else did you get to play?
Well, I played everything. that's coming. That's coming out pretty much. So Forza Horizon 3, which is incredible. They have a BJ Baldwin truck in that. That's pretty cool.
Oh, shit.
For everybody nice. Who's and they have a really great. It's just another amazing Forza Horizon game that I love.
Forza is the car game.
It's the car game. Yeah. Then there's Battlefield, which was incredible. I got to play
Battlefield
that.
1.
That looks exciting.
I played that with my friend Brock. He is like a professional video game player, meaning that he plays video games all day, every day.
Yeah.
So pretty much what we all would do.
We all do.
I'd like to do it. Yeah.
But he's an incredible first-person shooter. He's almost like a guru of it. Mm-hmm. And he got, and me and him were standing next to each other. He went like 15-3 or something in it. But I got to be honest, I've never played a first-person shooter that where I put the headphones on and I was so immersed with tactical, that everything was tactical. You could do anything. I could break down a wall. I could shoot down a wall. I could get in a tank. Everything was interactive, and the weather was changing constantly. It was rainy. It was misty. It was foggy. It was clear. Mud affected
this
everything.
This is the World War I.
Yes.
One. Yeah, okay.
And it was like, but what I liked about it and what I really hate about first-person shooters is that it sort of leans towards to people that have been playing it the most.
Yeah.
And this game, they've done something great is they've allowed anybody at any time to be a hero. You can just play it and jump right in after everybody's been playing it for months, I'm feeling like, and just be fine. You can get your kills in if you play it tactical, strategic.
Right.
It's like anybody can play it. There's the classes are all very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, I was, not camping, but I was like moving around and I was terrified. My heart was racing.
Wow.
It got me. It was immersive.
Nice. That's cool.
I played Sea of Thieves, which was cool.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was
what
it was,
is that?
It was like a pirate game. Oh, yeah. It was fun.
I think it's rare.
Cool.
Did you play Assassin's Creed?
I didn't, but God of War was.
Oh, I forgot about God of War.
I didn't get to play the Assassin's Creed. I didn't even know Assassin's Creed.
Well, no. I was wondering because I was going to mention. Do you play the series?
Oh, I do.
I
play
was
going to
say, did you? So you played the pirate, the pirate version, which is the number 4.
Yeah, 4.
Black. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Black Flag. That's it.
Yeah.
Black Flag. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it something like that, the Sea of Thieves, or is it more?
It was a little more like. It was more like pirate ships fighting. There was a lot of like boom, explosions.
So it was more
stuff.
Strategy.
It's a little cartoony, isn't it?
It's a little bit cel shading.
Yeah,
very cartoony, but it was fun. I played another game that was really fun. It was the Ghost Recon game with Tom Clancy's and For Honor. If you guys are Game of Thrones fans, For Honor is going to be like the new kind of what Dark Souls was, but it's going to be more about like knights fighting and heroes fighting.
Okay,
it was very fun.
Interesting. Nice.
For Honor was incredible. Of course, there was Watch Dogs 2 there, which nobody wants to play for some reason, but I wanted to play it.
I enjoyed the first Watch Dogs a lot.
Yeah, my friend was like, I'll never play that game. And I was like, I will gladly play it because it's fucking sick as tits.
Ubisoft has a history now of, like, the first game comes out as a proof of concept, like Assassin's Creed. The first Assassin's Creed's fun, but then when you get to Assassin's Creed 2, it's like, okay, now that we know we can do that basic stuff, now let's really flesh this out.
Yeah, because the first game. First one's awesome, but it's really repetitive.
And then you get to the second one, and there's just so much going on. There's all the side stuff. You're buying stuff. You're finding stuff.
It feels like
so much, and there's a much better story.
Yeah,
and it a better character like when you get Ezio Auditore di Firenze.
I don't know Watch Dogs. What's the
You like tech? It's techie. You kind of like run around and
you like hack traffic lights.
Yeah. You can hack cars now.
The city,
and drones.
You like hack the city, basically. Yeah.
It's fun. It's like you can kind of wreak havoc, and it's like GTA, but you can do it. It's very customizable.
It's GTA, but like Mr. Robot.
Yeah, exactly. It's Mr. Robot.
What are people's complaints against it though? Is it because there's not enough action? Is it more?
It's more like people were like, "Why do I care about this game?" Was the feedback for Watch Dogs 1, in which they answered with Watch Dogs 2, and it's extremely fun. I had fun.
Yeah. In the first one, they overpromised. You'll be able to hack the whole city, and it's really just sort of a couple things that you can hack in the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
like you were saying, bare bones with Assassin's
Creed. Yeah. The protagonist is just another generic white guy in a hoodie. You know, so it's sort of okay.
Well, now you can be a black guy in a hoodie.
There you go.
So now I'm progressive.
Hashtag yeah. Trayvon Martin.
Did you get to do any? Did you do any VR stuff?
I did or? Oculus, and I played with the Star Trek one.
Oh,
yeah. Let me tell you, it was unbelievable.
I'm not allowed to be excited because I shit all over it. Last
you can
week.
Be excited. No,
look,
that's
he's like played it now. So
yeah,
okay. Okay.
I
excited.
I was right. So
you're allowed
against
to get excited. After
I was
this.
So against it.
Okay, yeah, it just didn't look like it. It didn't look like it could be exciting.
Piece of shit.
And the graphics were hokey.
They're hokey, right? That you think. Wait a minute. So I put it on. You get your hands, and the moment you get in there and you look around, and it's like looking at you guys right now. Yeah. And I was black too, so I was like looking at my hands. I'm black. Yes, you know. And I look over at my friends, and he's like, "Dude," and he's like, dabbing
on the bridge.
Dabbing on the bridge. Yeah. We were like going like you know Team America, like, oh. And it takes your facial recognition, so you're talking, and it's as real.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, you can look 360, and then when you touch stuff, you're touching the Oculus. You have the Oculus hand things, which they feel very intuitive. So you're like, I was running the ship. I was controlling the ship.
Okay.
And, you know, my friend was running the cannon, and then we had someone that was an engineer, and we were fighting a Klingon army.
Okay,
and
so it's actually interesting.
Oh, it's so
interesting.
They
give you, like, conflict.
Oh,
because that's
so
what
much.
I was worried about, is it was like, how's the air supply?
Oh, no, it's sick.
Like,
you all have
like,
to work together.
Okay.
You all have to talk to each other. It's very real. And there was, you know, there's a point in it in the, not to, there's no spoiler. We all know who wins the game.
Yeah.
Is the you know, the fleet.
As long as you don't suck at it.
As long as you don't suck. But you kind of looking at each other and you're like, go now. And it's like, whoa, this is fucking real. And you're moving dials and, you know, the boost thing, you got to look behind you and boost into the,
All right, it's cooler and more interesting than what it looked like.
Yeah, no, it's
I mean,
very
I guess
cool.
It's not until you put on those glasses.
Yeah, not until you're in the moment.
I've done a little VR.
How heavy is that thing?
It's not as heavy as you would think it is, and you do look stupid as hell wearing it.
Oh, of course.
And you're like, you know, over there like, hey guys, and oh my gosh.
It's like screen acting.
Yeah, except you are so immersed in it. I was lost. I had no idea. But
wait, it's over? I want to play it again.
Yeah, it literally just felt like that. And
one more Klingon.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you do any other VR, like, to compare
I did another one, which was just like, there's a 360 dome that was really cool, which felt like VR. And then I put on another Oculus, and I played another, almost like a fighting game where I was shooting.
Oh.
And it was really cool because you could bring up the gun. I don't remember the name of it. But I was able to kind of like shoot, and it felt you could like
felt
feel
real.
It.
Yeah.
It wasn't a gun; it was the you know Oculus.
Right.
Is Oculus the one that's connected? One is the one connected to Xbox, and another one to
Oculus. Hollow Glass, and then Morpheus, I believe it is.
Okay.
Or,
so
it's
like,
or the HTC Vive.
Well,
the
Vive
is
with
the
PlayStation.
One I did.
Okay.
That's the one that's PlayStation. I think is going to use.
Oh, okay.
And then
my buddy just had it running off of his PC.
The Oculus is not.
It's its own
officially
thing.
Attached to the Xbox at the moment. I don't think they've said exactly what they're doing. They have, like, code names and stuff. But that is the one that they say you're going to be able to play normal Xbox games on it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't necessarily be, like, 360 VR. You'll just be playing it on that. But I believe Oculus comes with an Xbox controller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
When you buy it. So.
Yeah, because you got to set up stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, a whole thing.
But
how much is that in a... Is that out yet for people to buy?
I don't know. I think
Well, my buddy has the HTC thing. He wanted to get Oculus, and they kept pushing his order, and then he could get the Vive or whatever it is the next day, so he got that. And he says he prefers it at this point. He's done both. But
are you
going to
say 10,000 rupees?
So. Yeah, yeah.
10,000 rupees.
But I want to say that like the Vive is like $400 or $500.
Yeah, it's up there. It's expensive.
Yeah. Because you have to mount.
And is
like
Star
these...
Trek going to be on all of them, or is it just
on
Oculus?
I feel like it's on Oculus.
Okay. So some of these games are exclusive
on an
to the
Xbox platform.
Machine. Okay.
The one thing that I definitely wanted to talk to you guys about, because I feel like it really sums up, you know, Zelda. It could sum up Game of Thrones, and it's a video game. Is Witcher, and honestly, I know that you guys haven't played it yet.
Yeah,
Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Honestly, I've played Mass Effect, I've played Skyrim, I've played ESO, I've played, Dark Souls. All of these games, and including Ocarina, it's like whoever took the Polish book series on Monster Hunter, The Witcher, and took Geralt of Riviera, or whatever it's called, and made him into who he is now. I mean, granted, the first Witcher was just ancient on PC.
And yes, it was nodding.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
it was.
Just yeah. Like, what the hell are you doing? And then the second one that came out was, like, very, you know, it was like, very much how Assassin's Creed 1 was. It was great, but it had a lot of stuff that needed to be worked out.
It was just showing promise.
This game is unbelievable. I mean, when I have a free moment... Mm-hmm. I'm literally sucked into the storyline of it, and I'm sucked into the gameplay. And you know, there's like IGN review said, you know, it's a 9.98 or a 9.5, and the only reason we're not giving it the full 10 is because, you know, we feel like the storyline didn't, you know, is you don't care. But they've added so many storylines. The expansions of Blood and Wine is incredible. This is like the role playing game. And open world game, sandbox game of like all time to me. I feel like you look at the maps. You ride a mount. If you have your horse Roach and you ride him from one end of the map to the other, it'll take you like 20 days in human time. This is like a huge game.
Okay.
And then what's even crazier, and as I'm starting to play it, I mean, I've put in at least 200 some plus hours into this game.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to recognize something about it. It's literally taking cues from Mass Effect because it takes place in a world that isn't our own. And you can travel between these other worlds. It's very much about space and aliens and creatures and dragons. And you're a monster hunter.
Huh.
Making coin from contracted killing monsters.
That sounds awesome.
Rescuing this girl that is apparently your daughter at some point or something. And banging
she was
a lot
your
of
daughter
really,
or will be your daughter.
Yeah, and banging a lot of really, really hot sorcerers.
Well, now you have my attention.
Oh, okay.
And there is extreme full frontal nudity in this. It's incredible. Wow. You care about the characters. The gameplay, the weapon grabs, it's so rewarding. It's not like Dark Souls, where you just want to just twist the controller into breaking it.
Dark Souls is so hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah. So you don't have to play the ancient Witcher one.
No, never play
it.
It gives you all the information up front, and then you dive right into the story. I will say, though, if you start playing it, which I really hope you guys do, because it's one of these games that it will literally change your life.
That's what makes me. That makes me.
Your
so
girlfriend will leave you.
Speaking about. Yeah, but even I mean, not even to bring up the girlfriend. But like my girlfriend will sit, and she's not into. I mean, she's not into video games. If you watch Game of Thrones with me, she's like very very much a nerd. But she'll sit with me and watch this and get consumed in the storyline.
That's like the true testament of a game. Like when I played Final Fantasies back in like middle school, when my family would like be like, "Can you not play right now?" I'm like, "Why? You want to use the TV?" They're like, "No, we just can't watch right now. We want to see what happens." Like that shows like how good a game can be. That you're
that scares me because the I just started playing Far Cry 4 because I'm behind a little bit, and that game I'm gonna play for 30 minutes. 4 hours later. It sounds like to me The Witcher 3 is going to be one of those, I'm going to play for 30 minutes, 8 hours later.
Yeah, no, it is.
Like, it's just like,
there was a
suddenly
day where
it's
I played
4 a.m. and you haven't slept yet.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit, I have to go to work in an hour.
Here's a real thing. We wrapped on the show on Friday at, I don't know, 2:30 a.m.
Right.
I went home and played The Witcher until 5 a.m.
Okay. Sleep.
I was all like, right, I need to know what happens right now because it's like a good, it's like Game of Thrones. Yeah. Except you can binge watch the entire game. There's no, there's apparently it took the voice actors 3.5 years to speak out all of the script.
Wow.
It also has more dialogue than all of the Lord of the Rings combined. It has more dialogue than all of Star Wars trilogy. The entire Star Wars saga canon combined.
Even though I kind of suck at video games, I'm trying to get back into it. This sounds like I should challenge
myself. Well, it's every single person could play it in this room, and we'd all have completely different outcomes.
That's why
I made Mass Effect so fun.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Love Mass Effect.
And
I killed everyone. I killed my whole fucking team.
Oh, God.
I saved all of them. Dan and I were talking, and he came in. He's like, everybody died. It was sad. I'm like, everybody died?
Everybody fucking died. I did everything wrong in that fucking game. So, but anyway, I'll do it right in The Witcher.
That was the one thing I was hoping for at E3 this year was something about Andromeda.
Yeah.
I want that out now.
Me too.
I cannot
They've announced it, right? But there's
That is my most anticipated game.
And I wish Limbo would come up with a sequel because that was a fun game.
They have something coming out. It's not
no
a sequel,
one will
but
talk
it's,
about it, though.
Yeah.
And that's going to be incredible.
The game that I'm looking forward to the most, and I haven't even heard a whisper. Maybe you have because you seem to be got your ear to the video game ground there. Red Dead Redemption.
Oh my god! Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Of course, Rockstar. I think it's Rockstar that's taking
it. Yeah, it's Rockstar.
Still doing it. Because before they come out with Grand Theft Auto 6, which is eventually down the pipe.
Of course.
Why would you not want another $60 billion for an amazing game? Probably Miami. You look at something like Red Dead Redemption, which everybody loved. Mm-hmm. Everything in that game was incredible and just amazing and memorable. And you felt like a fucking outlaw, and you wanted to get out and rob those trains and jump. And it was amazing.
I kept playing as the sun, after when the game ended, and I just kept playing doing all the side missions.
Yeah, you couldn't stop. They're definitely bringing back Red Dead Redemption. They're definitely going to bring back Grand Theft Auto in an amazing way. But of course, Red Dead Redemption was amazing.
You look at
these games.
I can still play that now, thinking about it right now. I can go back and start playing it again on PS4.
But Rockstar takes their time. They're not going to rush something out. They're not like EA or Ubisoft where they're like, we need one of these every year. They're like, you know what? When it's done, it's done.
They're like the Pixar of, they're like, you'll get your Finding Nemo sequel in 13 years and you'll like it.
And that was the thing is, like, you look at like Call of Duty and you remember Modern Warfare. You remember that? And it was so amazing. It's so pivotal. And in game, in complete, all over across the board in every game form.
Yeah.
And then now it's like they're releasing one in November. I mean, I care, but I don't care that much.
Yeah.
They're completely oversaturated. It's almost like
I wait 2 years and buy it for $5.
It's like a sports game. Well, they release one a year and expect you to keep buying it.
I have to do this interactive thing called peeing.
Oh, right on.
It's totally immersive.
You're getting in the toilet?
Witcher 3 is probably down in price right now because wasn't it Game of the Year last year?
It was Game of the Year last year. You can get the expansions now.
I want to buy the whole package, like the whole thing. I don't want to download shit later.
If you ever played Diablo 2, which I did.
Hundreds of hours.
It is Diablo 2. It's Diablo 2, except in a world where it's the most beautiful game I've ever seen, first of all. I will literally play it. And I'll take videos, and I'll show you. I take videos and send them to my friends that play them also. Like, I have now four of my friends playing it. And we do the same missions. We get different drops. They're all rewarding. That's the thing about this game. That if you guys play Destiny, you know, when they took away the fucking looting, cave raids.
Yeah,
it was like, dude, what the fuck am I playing for? Yeah. I wanted to be rewarded. Yeah. I want to watch Game of Thrones. I want to be rewarded. I want to watch Breaking Bad. This game does that. Diablo 2 did is you would, kill Mephisto, and you'd be like, oh my god, rare drops.
Yeah.
That's what this game does. It drops relic armor. Everything's better than the last thing. You can craft your own armor. It's easy. The diagrams are easy to follow. That was the thing about some of these other role-playing games. It's hard to follow. It's hard to pick up.
Yeah.
All of Witcher is fun. It's easy. And you can control. This is the one thing I love about it, is you can switch between normal setting and super hard setting and easy setting.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's going to stay the same. So if you get to a boss and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to feel like I'm playing Dark Souls 3 anymore. I want to just get through it. You can switch it to easy and just be the Witcher and murk kids in the game. It's a single player. You're not murking anybody. You're just going to be in there and be like, yes, I'm the best, silently. But it's
to yourself.
Yeah, you're like
just talking to yourself. I'm the best.
Yeah, you're like I'm the best. Yeah.
But controller I just used, so tactile,
amazing,
so intuitive.
Yeah, it's great. It's like it feels like it's your own. Right?
You were able to wave it around a little.
Wow,
like it's a part
so
of your body.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an extension of yourself.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Sorry. But anyway, I believe you guys. Well, you get to use your controller in Witcher 3.
By the way, we're talking about
set it on hard.
You went pee if you didn't.
Oh, I see. Oh,
you're just
hard.
Joining us now. Josh went pee.
He ruined the podcast again.
Again.
As always.
My favorite recent RPG, fantasy RPG, was the Lord of the Rings one, Shadow of Mordor.
The gameplay is amazing.
Yeah, that's why. How's the gameplay?
It's very much like Shadows of Mordor. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Where it's just, but it's not as like consistent as Shadows of Mordor was Batman.
Batman. Dude, it was totally Batman. It was totally Arkham Asylum. Yeah.
And, you can keep just fucking murking kids and just
that was so
oh, yeah.
But this one
I want to take on as many people as I could.
There's tons of dismemberment in Witcher 3, and it's very, very satisfying when you, like, you know, get into these like crazy combos and your adrenaline points kick up, and then you use the, you know, you have signs, so you can use like force push kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's kind of a Jedi. You had me like you're a Jedi. Yeah. You're literally a Jedi. You have fire. You have Quinn, which is where you have a shield. Have Igni. You have all this stuff. It's incredible. And it's rewarding. You can burn people to a crisp and then just like push them and then slice them in half in their
It blows my mind that nobody has used one of these engines for a Star Wars game yet.
I know.
That's what you know, Unleashed was supposed to be. Except they created their own engine.
That was fun, but
it's not this.
We have a wide open fucking world.
Well, hopefully that's what's coming, you know.
EA's working on a couple Star Wars games.
Battlefront is great, I have so little faith in EA, though. I hate to say it. But Battlefront is fun, but the lack of the campaign really...
And it had the problem I understand your lack of faith in EA, that you can't just, like, since I kind of suck, it's harder for me to have fun in that game, because I just want to run around and be in Star Wars for a little bit and feel like I'm kind of competent, but then inevitably, like, the dude that has 10,000 kills and hasn't left his house since November when it came out.
Well, I gotta say,
yeah, you feel like the Knights of the Old Republic. The second.
Oh, yeah. Now, why the fuck doesn't anybody take that and make that into the greatest Star Wars game ever of, like, a role-playing
Everybody
game.
Always does that back. Yeah,
God.
I understand your lack of faith in EA. Right. I do not find that disturbing at all. But you've played Uncharted, right?
Wait, they do Uncharted? I love Uncharted.
No. But you played Uncharted.
That's one of my favorite series.
The director of the Uncharted series, or the creator, I don't know her exact title, is running this EA Star Wars game.
I'm in.
Yeah.
So
I trust her.
God, it will be epic. Then.
I haven't played Uncharted 4 yet. I haven't played Uncharted 4, but I've played Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 over and over again.
Yeah, I think she left after 3.
She did? Okay.
I think so.
But I hope that it's more than 30, 40 hours. I hope it's consistent. I hope you can just build your guy up.
I want to play 250 hours worth of Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. And not just open world, but open worlds.
Open worlds.
Open galaxies.
Well,
you know?
And I want some vehicle shit.
Yeah.
Come on.
Here's the other thing. I wanted to check out was No Man's Land or No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky, yeah.
Here's the thing about that. Okay. Oh my God. And I got to kind of see a little bit of this.
Okay.
But not at E3, in another forum.
Yeah, that game's been in the making for a while.
Forever. Yeah. Because it's like, what was it called? Transient Algorithm of...
It's
the next generation.
It's like what God... It's like the God cell in algorithms is that it keeps generating.
It's Skynet.
It's creating life within that even itself doesn't know.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I've been asking for so long. A game where it's half in your spaceship and then half running around on a planet doing some shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I hope that the Star Wars game is like No Man's Sky in that you can download expansions to other planets and other universes and consistently keep going, which is like Mass Effect 3.
Well, yeah.
If they're smart, it will be, because that's, you know, the best way to make money.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry, you didn't get to go to Dagobah in this one. Give us $30.
Yeah. I'd be like, shut up and
I'll
pay $30 to go to Yoda's Cave.
They've made so many great Star Wars games, but they haven't called any of them Star Wars.
I know.
You know, like, the Super Nintendo one was the greatest. X-Wing was the greatest for vehicles, or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was
amazing.
And then
RPGs and Knights of the Old Republic. But there's been how many Star Wars games? Like, hundreds? And those are the only, like, four or five that we can really, like, say those games are amazing.
Shadows of the Empire.
Shadows of the Empire is not a good game.
No?
It has an amazing level.
It has a great story, too.
When you're flying around on Hoth in the speeder.
Yeah.
That's a great level. I love it. When you're taking out the
canon,
walkers.
Dash Rengar?
Dash Rengar is no longer canon.
He will be soon, though, because they've all but said that what's-his-face... He's alluded to. Who's
and Kyle Cartan from Dark
Reed.
He's alluded to in like one of the new novels or something.
Into canon too much. No, but Darth Plagueis. Okay.
Plagueis.
Want to know why Andy Serkis comes forward and goes, "I'm not Darth Plagueis."
He's not, man.
How the fuck?
Some new thing.
It looks so much like Darth Plagueis. It would be so smart. Why do they fuck themselves up? Why did they take something that would be so incredible to everybody that knows Star Wars, which is 99% of the fan base, because we all know Darth Plagueis and he's talked about, and would you take that dismantled fucking mess of three episodes and you make something great from it? You don't take it and go, "That never happened. Don't look at it." You know, take
this
it.
It's funny. We've had you just opened a can of worms.
Oh yeah,
you're on the right. We have had the Snoke as Plagueis conversation. Yeah, we are not pro Plagueis.
I want him to be something. I want Rey to be Luke's daughter. It doesn't need to be Luke's daughter. It needs to be something important. Yes. Whereas these guys are like, oh, but that makes the world smaller. I was like, that's fine because the saga is the small
I'm okay
part
with
of the Rey world.
Being someone
yeah.
important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think, like, if it turns out that, like, Finn is Lando's son and,
that,
like,
no, I don't want that.
Snoke is
that.
Ezra from Rebels, then I'm Finn, just going to be, like, done.
I think Finn
is
Forrest Whitaker's son because they're making that character kind of important.
I mean, all that
the cartoons.
Yeah,
the
I don't know.
Yeah, Saw Gerrera,
and they already
whatever.
Said Finn's
timeline
parentage.
Right.
But they already said Finn's parentage is something. Maybe grandson.
The reason I was so enthralled with that Plagueis idea was because it gives us something that could tie into almost like
all
a
of
deity of evil, that like something started. Because the you go back in time, right, to the first Jedi Wars, right?
Yeah.
Before, when it was Jedi versus Sith.
Yeah.
And it was like this big battle. Plagueis was like this huge part of that. Right? Am I wrong?
No,
I
think you're right.
But I don't know now.
He was like a lord.
Like, that's the hard part. I don't know ancient canon now.
It's because Snoke, there's something in the, what was the novel that came out before the movie that I read that you're reading now?
The,
Shattered Empire. Aftermath.
Shattered Empire is a comic.
In the novel Aftermath, they talk about how, like, one thing Palpatine did that not many people knew he was doing was sending out, like, vessels and his trusted allies into the farthest reaches, like, beyond the mapped galaxy to try and trace the origins of, like, the Sith and the dark side. Mm. So I like the idea of Snoke not being somebody we knew, but somebody, like you were saying, like a deity from outside of that that was like, oh, you thought the Emperor was bad? Like, I am the
God,
reason
man.
All, yeah, I am why all of this happened. I'm 4,000 years old, and I'm pure evil.
I hope Snoke's as tall as Yoda. Like, that just projection, just he's not really that big, and he just turns out to be like this little miniature fucking badass. Like
I don't
Yoda
know, that's
was.
Not as cool for Luke to fight.
Yeah, that's not
going to
happen, but I just thought it'd be hilarious.
I feel like the only reason that kept with me is it kept that canon alive of, like, oh, he's coming back from the dead just like, you know, he, just like Palpatine explained,
yeah,
like, there's that, it's a reality that this force is this strong, and that we can,
the Sith,
you know,
can
the
this.
Sith
well,
can do this. It, I mean, I would be a Sith. I would definitely. I think it's
we
like, given
well,
Alan
would choose
the
dark
Sith
side.
Sith are allowed to sleep around.
Yeah, you're allowed to do a million
no,
different
would,
cool things.
I would choose what Jason Solo did and try to find balance between, actual balance between
the
force.
Unifying force.
The unifying force. He obviously went dark, but hey, maybe we don't have to. We can just go.
All I know is that we're less than.
There is no dark and light.
We're about a month away from finding out the title and getting our first teaser
of eight.
For episode 8.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Mention episode 8. If they don't make Snoke someone important like Keegan and I want,
mm-hmm,
and they just make him some random dude that eat random evil, I would love, though.
You can be random
hold on,
and important.
Hold on.
Sorry.
important in the sense that we know this character already. What I was going to say is I hope to God Luke Skywalker gave him that scar on his face, because he seems terrified of Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I love the idea that Luke also, and this is just a theory out there, that Luke also disappeared, not just because of what happened with Kylo, but because he started to lose control.
So powerful.
Power. Yeah. Which mm-hmm, someone said that there's a scene in 8 where he just, like, his hut just explodes.
Yeah,
right?
There's supposedly from somebody.
He has an emotional,
like,
reaction.
Leaked from set, and I just really hope that it's true, is that, like, when Rey's talking to him about, like, are you sure you don't want to come back and hang out with us? Like, she presses a little too far, and he's not really saying anything, and at one point, like, the hut just around them explodes. Because
that's
he's
what
not saying. Speaking, but his, like, his power and his anger is, and all those years of all that.
Because that's the only thing I was sad about when they got rid of the expanded universe. Like, I mean, I could. There's so many characters in there I like, but that's okay. I love that they bring Thrawn in there, though. But I love how powerful Luke became. Like, mm-hmm, he was. Mm-hmm. Could be the balance. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the most powerful Jedi
that ever. His dad wasn't the chosen one. Luke's the chosen one.
Mm-hmm. I've got to say, this might be one of the, like, the nerdiest. We went full-fledged.
I don't even know what to do. Like, what do I do to balance this out before I hit the real world?
Go get a snow cycle and just do some crazy-ass fucking tricks and shit.
But even that feels nerdy then. I don't even know. I have to, like, go. I feel like I have to go to, like, a park and, like, subtly, like,
you have to go to, like, you have to go to, like, a strip club and eat metal.
Which is what we normally do after we tape.
Wait,
you eat a metal burger on top of boobs.
Yeah. You go to the strip club, you jump up on stage, you just bite into the bar, the pole.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I am not nerdy.
Well, I don't know
and
anything
then you spit
about
bullets
this.
In the wall.
Yeah, right.
I forgot what we were talking about when you said that. I was like, wait a minute, how does
Star
that
Wars.
Star Wars canon.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, but it's so insane, and I honestly thank you guys, because it's like, I'm not able to be nerdy that much around my friends. Mm-hmm. Even though they're all nerds, but it's like kind of like a secret society, like the Bohemian Grove. You have to like hide off and be like, "We're nerds, right?" And then
just don't talk about it.
You know what? Well, number one, Keegan, you have an open invitation to come back anytime you want.
Thank you.
Anytime you want. I'm sure these guys would agree.
Because
second, it is a great time to be a nerd because nerds are running the business we're in.
Yeah, it's nerd.
J.J. Abrams. I mean, Steven Spielberg is a fucking huge nerd. He's been running that business for how long? So. Yeah, and I mean, they're running Silicon Valley. I mean, they're everywhere. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody can get nerdy about something.
We'll start letting you know what we're talking about each week in case you want to come back.
Yeah, let me know. Just send me a text and let me know, because I definitely will come back in to any conversation.
Well,
when any news breaks on anything, we'll all come
back. Oh, yeah, you should come back for Star Wars.
Is there any nerdy movies you're looking forward to in the next few months? Is there anything?
Ooh, wait, did you see Independence
Day? Well, see, we have to save that for next week now.
Yeah, I know, we're not going to talk about this week, because we're going to spend a full hour on that movie.
Oh, man,
And Dan's going to walk out of the podcast at least twice.
No.
We won't talk about it now.
all the ads for it look a little bit interesting.
So back to Dan's question: what are you looking forward to coming up? Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of cool movies that are coming up. But it's funny as I saw.
Like, are you into the comic book movies? Are you looking forward to Suicide Squad?
I am looking forward to Suicide Squad. I'm interested to see what each of these characters are actually like on screen going to be like, because we all know what they're like in the comic books.
Holy shit! Keegan, please don't take any offense to this, but I just realized something. I just saw Joker makeup on your face.
Oh, right now.
I would love to see you as the Joker.
Think
about it. It's going to have to be at least 10, well, at least 5 or 6 more years before they have a new Joker.
at least two.
Yeah.
At least 10 years.
Just hoping that
Dan's like, Keegan, you look like a homicidal maniac.
No! I'm just saying. He would be the most handsome Joker there's been.
Dan, that was a little far. Okay.
I hope
zip Keegan's pants back up, because no offense, Keegan, I love you. You are a very handsome man. Heath Ledger.
I know. Let's be honest here, too.
Heath Ledger, he
killed it.
He's a beautiful human being.
Yeah. There's no one that will ever. I respect Jared so much. Yeah. I think he's an incredible actor. And in fact, I'll say it here. I used some of Jared's from my so-called life character. As my character on this show, Tobias, I very much honed in on that character and brought a lot into Tobias Kavanaugh.
That's
because
crazy.
That character was amazing, and what Jared did, and all of his performances are amazing. I know, if you're listening, go back and watch my so-called life. Yeah. It was my upbringing.
Such an underwatched. It was very.
Yes.
Everybody loved it.
Well, because Claire Danes was like, "I'm going to be a movie star now. Later."
Oh, is that
and
what
just
happened?
Left.
She just left.
Yeah, it was great. It was season,
like,
two
the
seasons
mod
of
squad's
amazing.
Calling. That's going to be a huge hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But I know. I hope that whatever demons Heath Ledger was dealing with, because you could see it on screen, that it was probably, if not the best performance ever as an actor.
Yeah.
Immersive, just crazy.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. It'll hold up forever.
Oh, forever,
But I don't know. My fear is with Suicide Squad that it will be a little bit hokey compared to the darkness that is Christopher Nolan.
Totally.
That we're going to be looking at something that's blockbuster versus art, you know?
Yeah, well, they're forced to go a different direction, especially after BVS, which didn't have the reception that they wanted.
Right.
Like, they have to go a little bit. I mean, if you see the posters and stuff, which I think are awesome, they're all neon and fun. And literally, one of the posters that came out last week, all the characters are marshmallows.
Right. Dark.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, Leto definitely went to an equally dark place.
I'm sure.
So I'm curious to see where he's coming from.
I hope he's out of it. I know he's out of it now. He's been out of it for a long time.
Well, he sent, like, Octavia Spencer, like, a fucking dead pig in a box, like a gutted dead pig. And he's like, I'm the Joker. So that's, I mean, like, that's commitment.
I was thinking, I haven't had my as an actor moment, and I was going to ask you, Keegan, as an actor, like, there's that moment, it's so small in Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight when, I don't remember, I think one guy in the mob scene calls him, he's like, you're crazy, and he's like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
No.
No, I'm not.
No.
Yeah.
Like, perfect. That moment, like, right there, I was like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
We're in for a ride.
That was, like, that was great. Just,
like, because, like, it's easy for, it seems like it's easier for an actor to emote, like, anger and just yelling and screaming, like when Mark Ruffalo's yelling and screaming in, what's the...
Oh, God.
The best picture this year.
Like, that crap.
Spotlight. Anyway, but is it harder for you to do moments like that where you have to be a little more subtle, but you have to convey such emotion?
Well, there's such a freedom in his performance, and as somebody that, you know, I'm like constantly working, and I'm always trying to find that freedom. I feel like he was so sucked into that character that he believed so much in that moment that everyone around him was crazy. And that he was the only sane person. He's the only person that sees that all this money that he gets could be easily burned because he doesn't even need it because he can do whatever he wants without any consequences.
God, and I think that that's...
I know, right?
Yeah.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
And but it's like he very much understands that concept of, like, there are no boundaries. Everyone around him created boundaries to keep safe.
Well, what's beautiful about the
Joker in that movie and Heath Ledger's performance is that he's not Heath Ledger playing the Joker. He's Heath Ledger playing the embodiment of chaos.
Yes.
Like the philosophy of chaos and anarchy.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so frightening is that you see from the very beginning when he has that mask on and they're robbing the bank and he's just like easily just gets rid of people but puts that bomb in the guy's mouth and just the yarn. Yeah. It's like you see it's like you wanted the Joker to be so bad is it's a real world with real consequences. Mm-hmm. There's no painted cartoon about
terrifying.
Him.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a real transient nut job who got way too much power and is way too dangerous and strong. Like, he's a strong person.
I like that theory that he's former special forces and that's why he kind of knows all this stuff and he's seen all this horror. Like, you know, like, I like that line where he gives, like, you know, a truck full of soldiers blows up. You know, nobody cares because that's what's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. You kill one little mayor and everybody loses their mind.
Yeah, what do you do? It's a dread.
I've watched that movie a lot. Actually, that's the only movie I have on my phone because every once in a while I'll just watch a scene.
Oh, yeah.
Heath. Like, just like, I love the interrogation scene so fucking. Oh. That's the best scene between Batman and the Joker.
Oh, ever.
Yeah. That scene is amazing. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but there's I don't know if it's Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, but it's definitely people who are doing their voices to perfection. They redo that scene. They don't show video. It's only audio.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear it. Cool. And it's still, even though it's not Heath and Christian Bale, that scene is so well written, too.
It's like, incredible.
They're so, and filmed. Like, everything about that scene is, it's pure magic.
You got Nolan. I mean, you got Nolan behind the camera, and you get, you know, and then you see, like, Bane, and he's just great. We get Hardy in there, and it's incredible to see these villains in real life.
Right.
And I think that that's going to, somehow, for at least for purists like us and a lot of people that love those movies, it's going to be hard for Suicide Squad to kind of like jump that because I feel like they just put a lot of money into it.
Yeah,
they got a lot of talent, but I feel like they're doing it kind of like in that
or Batman Forever.
Yeah,
way.
Deadpool is great because they made it for. For us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what Deadpool, completely
and that's what Deadpool is.
The point of Deadpool is that Deadpool is in on the joke.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And
he knows he's very self-aware he's in a comic book.
And I wish that Suicide Squad I haven't seen it yet, so I can't, obviously I can't speak to it, right. except that it looks like it's going to be a blockbuster movie, and I just hope that it holds up to
the legacy.
As long as we get the Fury David Ayer, the director, instead of the, what's the shitty Arnold movie he did?
Sabotage?
Yeah. We don't get that David Ayer. And he did one other one that was good, too. Didn't he do...
I have no idea.
He did the other movie with the...
End
of Watch, yes. Mm-hmm. So the dude is a very capable filmmaker. So, yeah. But you know, it's let's just hope DC didn't take too much control because of BVS's backlash.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we
could do a whole fucking pod just on those three Nolan movies.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Next pod is like chicks and football though.
Yeah.
Totally.
And beer
and cussing,
baseball.
Cussing.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like beer.
Yeah.
And soccer. I have a homework assignment for you guys and for everyone.
Besides Witcher 3? All
right. No, it's Witcher 3. I think you guys need to go right now and download it. It's anybody who's listening. Please put in at least 10 hours over the next week.
If you don't put in 112 hours.
Can I complain about one thing about video games nowadays?
Go ahead.
There's too many?
Well,
oh, yeah.
Yes, there's too many to play. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
But why do you have to download? Even if you have the disc, you have to download every damn game. So I have like no room on my PS4, so I can't play Far Cry 4 and what was the other game I wanted to play? Oh, my God. I can't remember the other game I wanted to play. But I put Mortal Kombat 10 and that one on there, and that took up all my fucking space.
Well, Witcher 3 is 33 gigs.
So I got to delete some shit. Yeah.
And I think like Dragon Age was 120 gigs.
Yeah, there's some big-ass
games.
But are you PS4 or are you...
I'm like Xbox.
Okay.
But here's the thing about Xbox. Here's the thing about what I think... I don't know what PS4 does, but with Xbox, is you're able to download... I think... Look, wait. Let me make it clear. When we get games like Fallout, and we get games like Witcher 3, and we get games that are open world like that, it's I feel safer downloading. It's okay, great. It's 10 hours download sometimes if you have a slow connection.
You start it before you go to work.
But who cares? Because when you delete the game off your thing, or when you buy a new console or whatever, it's in the ether. And that is best because now it's like, if you get a new console, all my Mass Effect games, what am I supposed to do? I have my Xbox 360.
Well, does it save it? But it, so it saves all your achievements and all that stuff too?
It does.
Yeah.
I thought it just saved the game. I didn't realize
you can. No, on Xbox now you can save your saves into the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it. It's all saved. In fact, that's what happened with Witcher is I deleted it at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck this game. Never playing it again. And I re-downloaded it, and now I'm back into it hard. So, yes.
We'll all go get addicted.
Go play. It's not even an addiction. It's more like you're living with it now. You know, addictions are like
it's an affliction. That's what an affliction is.
Exactly. Okay. It's turned into a habitual thing. Like, I'll go home, and I'll play The Witcher, and I'll just, you know, it's like eating now. So maybe it is a little addicting. But yeah, please go and enjoy that, and thank you guys again for having me.
Oh,
thank you for coming,
man.
What a
trip! We appreciate it. Like I said, anytime you want to come back, we'll maybe we should do a special pod on the Dark Knight trilogy one of these days.
Or when the Star Wars announcements come out,
reason to do
it.
Yeah,
that's a good. I know there's fuck it. Suicide Squad doesn't really count. But anyway, I don't know, because we're going to have Jared Leto's performance to compare to Heath Ledger's.
And Batman's
that's
in
true.
It.
That's
so.
Yeah,
true. And
Batman maybe, is in it. Maybe we're talking about
Batfleck.
So that is going to do it for this week. Across from me,
Danny Villalobos.
To my left,
Josh Morin.
To his left,
Joshua Potter.
And our Knight of the Veil.
Oh, gosh, Keegan.
And I'm Kyle Bowne, and this is The Way We Nerd.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.
In the eyes.
Sorry, yes, generating
in the eyes.
Oh my God, I forgot.
God, that is really good.
I forgot.
It also goes really well with
actually,
vodka.
Actually,
it's
better than
I thought. Oh my God.
Like, this Ecto Cooler.
Okay. That's better than I remember.
Where are you from?
Right.
I'm from California.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Ohio, at Hardee's, they had an Ecto Cooler Sundae.
What?
That was like
no
green
way.
Ooze.
That's your version of Carl's Jr., right?
Yeah.
It's the exact same restaurant.
Maybe they had it here.
Different names.
Yeah, one by the same company.
That's some good
stuff. You know what? It's worth that 40 grams, maybe.
Oh, God. It's so good.
It is.